Yesterday was, they call it, what, No King's Day? Interesting. Because we have a king that is not riding a multi-million dollar plane. We have a king this morning who's riding on a donkey, the lowest animal there is. We have a king this morning that deserve all the glory and the praise. A king we can bow down to and who is worthy of all adoration. We have a king this morning. And so today we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem the week before Easter. And this is one of the most joyful days recorded for us in Scripture. And although it still does not match the joy of Jesus' resurrection, but we look forward to celebrating later on this week. But there are so many people present who witnessed that first Palm Sunday. Jesus was certainly there, as were his disciples. The crowds were there, along with the children, singing praises to God and cheering Jesus on from the side of the road. The Pharisees were there, urging Jesus to rebuke the crowds for hailing him as king. And I'm sure that if you stopped and interviewed different folk from those groups, you would get a different perspective from each one of them. But there was another witness there that day that we easily skip over. We forget that this witness can also provide us with a valuable perspective on the first Palm Sunday. And I'm talking about a donkey. The donkey, you say, what can we possibly learn from the donkey? Well, God once used a donkey to speak to someone in the Old Testament, so I guess he can still use a donkey to speak to us today if he wants to. Am I correct? Well, I learned a few things about donkeys. They have wheels, and you know there's a lot we can learn from a donkey. This donkey in the story, triumphant entry, didn't seem to cause any bother. He didn't seem to put up a fight. But what was willing to depart from his mother and give Jesus a ride into Jerusalem? The donkey, amidst the shouting and the yelling and the singing, he quietly carried his precious occupant to where he wanted to go. He wasn't mega. He had a surrendered will. Come on, somebody. Who loved his king. Now, if I might borrow the words from an anonymous writer, once there was a young donkey named Jacob. Jacob lived in the village of Bethphage, right next to Bethany, just east of Jerusalem. And Jacob was an enthusiastic little donkey, a bit mischievous at times, but mostly he just loved to play. And someday Jacob told his mom, I'm going to grow up and be strong, and I'll be strong enough to carry a man on my back. And one day the village got busy. Crowds of folk arrived in the great numbers from all over the land. And Jacob asked his mother, where are all these folk coming from? Why are they passing through our village? They're going to Jerusalem, she said. Every year this time the people come from faraway places to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And it's a time of rejoicing and celebration as they remember how God delivered them from slavery in Egypt so many years ago. So Jacob said, well, mama, can I go to Jerusalem? So she said, we can't go to Jerusalem, but we can go to the border to watch. Come on, somebody. So after they went, Jacob's eyes shining with excitement, he watched with astonishment as the people streamed through the village on their way to Jerusalem. He marveled at their bright and colorful clothing. He tried to guess what was in the packages, you know. He heard the animals cheering and sounds of animals, and he wondered why the folk were bringing animals into the city. And distracted by so many insights and sounds, Jacob wandered away from his mother and accidentally crossed the village border. And one of his owners spotted him and chased him down. And the owner brought him back to the village, took a rope and tied him and his mother to it. But suddenly there were two strange men that approached him. And look, there he is, one of them crying out. This is just as the master said. And Jacob wondered, are they talking about me? But just then one of the owners appeared and said, why are you untying our donkeys? And the Lord, and they said, the Lord have need of him. Then you can take him. So the men brought Jacob and his mother outside the village, put their coats on Jacob's back. Is someone going to ride me? Jacob wondered. I've never carried a man before, but I hope I can be strong enough to carry this man. He was also a little worried about the person who was going to ride him. He's seen some pretty mean folk riding donkeys, and sometimes they yelled at the donkeys. But all of his fears vanished away because the other men called him Jesus. Jesus smiled kindly at Jacob and stroked his back with a strong hand and said, hello, little donkey. You can carry me to Jerusalem today. So Jacob's heart skipped a beat, and on to Jerusalem he went. As they approached Jerusalem, Jesus sitting on his back, the excitement in the air continued to build, and Jesus sat on Jacob's back, and Jacob's mother walked beside them, and then there was a large number of people lined up both sides of the road, singing, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. And others cheered on, and they had palm branches. But one thing about it, Jacob thought, I must be the important donkey in the city. Perhaps the most important donkey in the whole wide world. So the little donkey held his head up high as he marched strongly and bravely into the city carrying Jesus on his back. It was the proudest moment in Jacob's life. And it was already late. So Jacob and his mama did not go back, but they stayed overnight. But somehow or another, Jacob couldn't sleep. He thought about all the attention that he got, all the applause that he had. He dreamed about the parades and the music and the people cheering. He woke up the next morning. His mother was still sleeping, but he couldn't wait. I must go back into Jerusalem. The folk will be waiting for me. So off he ran to the marketplace. But nobody noticed little Jacob. Come on, somebody. He said, why aren't people applauding me? But Jacob's mother told him, because without him, you are nothing. What am I trying to say today? I'm afraid that many of us are missing the point. That it's not about all about us, but about what God wants to do with us. Can I get some help in here? I'll be down in a moment. And the fact of the matter is that the legacy of Easter is a faith story. It's intended not for the unbeliever, but for the believer. Easter is for those who believe in the power of an almighty God. Easter is for the believer. Easter is about the belief in a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's about a God who was, he is, and who whatever shall be God. It's about a God who was. That's the God of the Old Testament, the right on time God. Easter reminds us about a God that was right on time when he parted the Red Sea for the Hebrew children to cross over. Easter reminds us about a God who was right on time when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Easter reminds us about resurrection. About a God was on time when David slew Goliath, when Daniel was in the lion's den, when the Hebrew boys was in the fiery furnace. Easter is about a God who may not show up when you want him to show up, but he always shows up on time. I don't care what's going on in the world today. We have a God who is and will ever be with us. It's about a belief in a God that dwells with his people. And now we tend to believe that God is only for us when we're experiencing the blessings of God. Good health and good fortune. But let me tell you something. Can I park here a moment? He's there with us when our lineage has been erased. He's there with us when our history has been rewritten. He's there with us when things are being reformed and struck in such a way that you don't know who you are. When you don't understand you, then you try to assimilate the other folk. But he's there when you hang down your pants. Come on, somebody. When you refuse to let your young folk know, you don't hang your pants up like that. Come on, somebody. Remind our children that you are better than that. Pull up your pants. Tell our daughters. No, it's not about the hair and the lashes, but it's about assimilating with a God who loves you, who made you, who created you. Can I press on? You see, you must understand that the powers that are controlling the media outlets, the television programs, the music industry, are getting the standard for the culture. and saying, this is how we're supposed to act. This is how we're supposed to dress. This is how we're supposed to talk. Come on, somebody. Believe that this is the way we're supposed to be. And that becomes the norm. Now, this is not just a singer or rapper acting, addressing a certain way. But this is a big money, satanic agenda. So let me go a little deeper about the satanic agenda. When you don't understand who you are, and you find yourself trying to serve a white-skinned, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, feminine-looking Jesus who looks like the poster boy. Come on, somebody. For a commercial, believing some syrup and sugar promise that he will set you free when you die, even though Jesus said he came, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Can I press on? Because the slave master oppressors taught that through the slave Bible, there was no mention of Moses and how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The slave Bible. They didn't have the book of Jeremiah that contained 14 books, but mentioned how you'd have obeyed those that have rule over you. I know I'm going somewhere with this, because this is what we saw on yesterday. Because somebody ain't happy today. You know who I'm talking about. You know who is not happy. After almost 8 million folk came out yesterday to protest against a king. I want to be king. But let me tell you something to my people. You got to know that everyone that was superior to you, that you don't have to be like they were. You don't have to be like them. You don't have to take this. Your family was in chains and whipped, raped and emasculated. But you don't have to be that person. In the spirit of the late Jesse Jackson, he said, I am somebody. I am somebody. I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be young, but I am somebody. I may be on the welfare, but I am somebody. I may be small, but I am somebody. I may have made some mistakes in life, but I am somebody. My clothes might be different. My face may be different. My hair may be different, but I am somebody. I might be black, brown, or white. I speak a different language, but I must be respected, protected, and never rejected. Why? Because I am God's child. The donkey believed that he could carry Jesus. So we say that God is with us. When we've landed that promotion, I heard some good news, like the lump in our chest was not cancerous. We say and feel that God is really with us, because it's at those times that life is so beautiful. But if God were only with us when things are going well, then he would not be God at all. Am I right about it? He would just be a good luck charm, like Lady Luck in a rabbit's foot. But our God is omnipresent, everywhere at the same time. He's with us not only in our good times, but also in our bad times. He's with us in our pains as well as in our pleasures. He's there present with us when we're losing our homes, burying a loved one, or receiving a diagnosis that means surgery with no chance of recovery. God is there. Come on, somebody. Don't you miss this mark. Don't miss this moment of seeing God ride down your street. He's there with us when our spouse are packing their bags, walking out the door. He's there with us as we are answering the phones, only to receive bad news. God is still there, walking down our street. It's about a God who's always with us. Easter is about the power, the glory, and the majesty of a sovereign God. That's what Easter is all about. That is what Jesus told Mary when she said, I go to my Father and your Father, my God, your God. Easter is about much more than me. Some of the things that I must admire about some emotional acceptance speeches, like Halle Berry, the first black woman to win the Academy Awards in 2002, was a profound statement that caught the attention of all her peers. She stated that this moment is so much bigger than me. So much bigger than me. It's for the women that stand beside me, and it's for every nameless, faceless woman of color that now has a chance because this door tonight has been opened. Let me tell you something, New Providence. God is blessing us, but with his blessings come responsibilities. Come on, somebody. It's exactly those words that best capture this message of Jesus on Easter. In other words, this event of me being raised from the dead, he said, is an event of me defeating the penalty of sin. It's much bigger than me. This moment is about Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. This moment is about Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. This moment is about Moses, the Hebrew children, and the promised land. This moment is about Peter, Thomas, and Mary. This moment is about the opportunity for every believer in the power and authority of God to walk through this door to eternal life. It's about giving them access to the dunamis power from the throne room of God that was once hindered, shut up, and blocked by our sins. This moment, somebody say this moment, is about God giving you access to your healing. Can I get some help in here? It's about God giving you access to your deliverance. It's about the young woman who thinks that suicide is the only way out. This moment is about the young man ready to pick up a gun or a knife because they're tired of running for street games. This moment is about our young folk who want to go out and kill somebody because they don't want to face tomorrow. This moment. This moment. It's for the woman or man who's tired of being alone. It's for that man living with HIV. Or that woman who seemed hopeless. For them, that stone was rolled away. For them, every valley has been exalted. The mountain made low and the crooked places made straight. Easter is about the door that God has opened for you and I. Easter is about God giving humanity not only the tools to become more humane, but also the power necessary to become divine. And I don't know what tomorrow has to hold, but I do know one thing, that if we would realize that the moments are so much bigger than us, we would have a greater impact in our homes, in our workplace, in our community. If we realize, church, that our living is not just about us, but it's about testifying the power of God, more people will be healed. More folk will be saved. More folk will have peace and joy. You got to know you can't go home and shut the door. Crawl under your bed. It's about you proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and that he's here to deliver you. And if he delivered me, he will deliver you. Open up your mouth. Shout to the... If we realize that every moment is not about us living large. I think we've lived too large because we've forgotten the giver. Come on, somebody. We want the gift, but not the giver. But I got news for you. It don't work like that. Come on, somebody. I believe that our living is not just about us, but it's about testifying of how good God is. If we realize that every moment is not about us living large or getting ours. If we realize that it's all about God and not having our voices heard or having our say or feeling appreciated or doing things our way. If we would realize that it's not all about God, about us, but more about God. Because then if we realize that, the stones will be rolled away. I don't know about you, but it's time out for playing church. Let me just say this right here. I'm going to make back to me. I'm tired of hearing Christians crying and pouting. Come on, somebody. About what they're going through. Well, come on through it. Because God laid on a hill called Calvary. And he laid there. Come on, somebody. With the stones in his hand, nails in his feet, a side slit open. But if he hung there for you and I. So we need to stop letting the world see us crying, but let the world see the God in us is bigger than us. I don't care where you go. Stop bowing your head down, but lift up your head. Oh, you gates, be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? I'm almost through. You may be seated. We must understand that Jesus came and died for all mankind. And because of his grace through repentance, that we are saved. And not by anything we have done or who we are. When you understand who you are, when you know and understand like the donkey, your true identity, then you're able to go from trying to assimilate with something and move into worshiping God in spirit and in truth, based upon truth and relationship and not ritualistic habits. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But we tend to miss those mamas, Reverend Jones, to give God the glory. Every moment we are given to give praise and thanks to God with a hand clap or hallelujah, we decide to hold our peace and fold our arms, saying it don't take all that. We miss the moment. Every time we ask financially to support our church and God's kingdom through tithing, we respond, we have enough money. You miss the moment. Every time you're challenged to greet each other and share a hug, and yet refuse to move from that pew to extend a hand, you miss the moment. Every time you refuse to forgive those we cannot stand to show mercy toward those who work on our last nerve, we miss the moment. Every time we are challenged to go forth as a giant killer, and yet all we see ourselves as a grasshopper, we miss the moment. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of missing the moment. I'm tired of coming so close to the mission, to the vision and the dream, to only run into stones of poor faith, stones of poor commitment, stones of disobedience. I'm ready to see moments that are much bigger than we are. I'm ready to see more moments to testify to the power of my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. And I'm ready to tell you something. As I get ready to take my seat, I'm ready to see moments when the folk of different colors, classes, and cultures will come together, meet eye to eye, and say, peace of the Lord be with you. I'm ready to see that moment. Come on, somebody. When our brothers and sisters stop getting taken off to another country just because of the color of their skin. I'm tired of hearing somebody say, I don't care what happened to you. I'm tired of hearing folks say, well, they died, so I'm glad they died. Church, we can do better than that. We are bigger than that. Why? Why is the world doing what they're doing? Because we as a church have bowed down to the wrong king. But if you bow down to God Almighty, he'll lift you up. Come on, somebody, and give you feet to stand on. If you bow down and say, yes, God is all I need, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, Brother Leach, to pass their hang-ups on denomination, pass by religion and doctrine, and realize that Sunday morning is not about a sign that's on the front of the building, but it's about the blood of Jesus spilled out for our redemption. I'm ready to see more moments where the disadvantaged, the disabled, and the discouraged can leave our sanctuary feeling empowered, feeling encouraged, feeling inspired, and convicted that God lives, that God reigns, and that God cares. Every Sunday, when I mount a pulpit, I'm looking for moments that are bigger than us. I'm looking for moments where the drug addict is delivered, where the alcoholic is released. I come to a place on Sundays looking for moments where lumps have disappeared, the cripple is made to walk, the folk are put back in their right mind. Moments that are bigger than us. And likewise, sometimes our lives get shattered by sin, shattered by the storms of life, but God is able to put us back again. Instead of using a super glue, God used the blood of Jesus Christ to clean us up, to give us the power of the Holy Spirit to put us back again. No matter how bad you messed up, no matter how bad your life has been shattered, Jesus Christ is able to straighten up your life and put you back together again. He never carried a cross without the 39 stripes to deliver us, to heal us. He didn't ask us to go to the cross, but he did it for you and me. So church, as I get ready to take my seat, don't miss the moment when Jacob's mother, the donkey, said, honey, it's not all about you, but without him, you are nothing. I'm looking for a moment when we can hear the Bible preached again in a way that sets Jesus forth as a center of attraction. I'm ready to hear Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Healer, Jesus the Deliverer, Jesus the Miracle Worker, Jesus the Friend of the Sinners, Jesus the Baptizer of the Holy Ghost, Jesus the Great Intercessor, Jesus the Great Shepherd of the Sheep, Jesus the Apostle and the High Priest. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. A wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God. He is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Day Star from High, the Justifier. He's a shelter in the time of a storm. He's my shield and my buckler, my fortress and my strong tower. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my anchor. He's my lion. He's my lamb. This same Jesus called an elevator down to earth, dropped in the virgin mother's womb. Come on, somebody. Did good. Save the sick. Raise the dead. But they tell me that they hung them high, stretched them wide. But on Sunday morning, good God Almighty, he got up with all power in his hand. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. Don't miss your moment.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.